Well, thank you for your generous giving of the Lord's tithe and your offerings today. The big picture, if we were to zoom out, God made this world perfect and he set human beings in there because he wanted a relationship with them. But as you know, they sinned, and because of that sin, it separates them and us from God. It broke the relationship with God. Well, God wasn't done, and he sent prophets and priests and judges, but they, you know, the people wouldn't listen. They wouldn't repent. Then God sent Jesus, his own son, to die on a cross to save us from our sins and to restore that relationship with God the Father. Then Jesus, 3 days later, rose again and is coming back for his church. And that's where we sit today and wanting to grow and be more like Jesus. Currently, we're in a series titled God's Tests. And since life itself is a test, God is at work in the circumstances of our lives, using those same circumstances to test us, to develop us, in us, the principles and the character and the nature of God himself. Incidentally, if you ever miss a message in a series, you aren't here for some reason, we have them on the church website at pcmorris.org, very easy to remember. And in the message tab, you can find the date and go back and listen or what have you. But God's test. Well, part one, we looked at the test of trust. We read the story in Genesis of Abraham and Sarah who, in their old age, I mean, they were old. They were very old, had a son named Isaac whom God had promised them. God wanted to see if Abraham loved God more than his son Isaac. And for you and I to pass the test of trust, we must remember the faithfulness of God in the past. And then we must evaluate, where do we put our trust in this world? And then we must confess our fears to God and bring those to the Lord. Part two, we looked at the test of obedience. Obedience is the demonstration, it's the proof of our love for Jesus. And for us to pass this test, we must know God's commands. We must know what's in this book. And then we need to choose to obey his word by following through in obedience, even when it's not popular, even when it's not convenient, following through. If life is a test, then life is also about choices. And obeying God's word opens the door to blessing, to eternal life. Part three, we looked at the test of dependence. And as we peered into David's life, King David, we saw how God was removing all of his crutches, removing all of his dependences. Even though David had done nothing wrong, right? He was depending on that security, that title as an officer in Saul's army. He was dependent on his wife, Michal. He was dependent on the prophet Samuel and even his best friend, Jonathan. But the last dependency that he had was he lost his self-respect. What usually triggers the type of this test of dependency is when something or someone that we are depending on is taken from us. So how do we pass the test of dependency? Well, God wants to remove the crutches from our lives. Why? Well, our dependencies become substitutes for God. Anyone or anything can become first place in our lives instead of God. So instead of depending on people or things, know that God this morning is strong enough to lean on. He's strong enough to depend on for your life and what you're going through. How else? All our dependencies keep our focus horizontal. When we're depending on this person and we're relying on that thing, our focus is then horizontal and it's not vertical. You see, dependencies paralyze our walk of faith. And so turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Also, our dependencies offer only temporary relief. Those things, those people that we turn to only offer temporary relief. But God offers a permanent solution through his son, Jesus Christ. And God frequently tests the heart by stripping us of that which is safe and that which is familiar. And God's word reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend on your own understanding, but what? Seek the Lord in all that we do, and God will make our paths straight. Well, I was a young person. I was excited to go to youth camp. And I was old enough to go finally. And our church youth group went to a place called Camp Utaba. And it was up in Utah, and a beautiful retreat setting in the mountains, log cabins, very rustic, very primitive, actually. And we had, you know, a typical camp. We had activities during the day and youth services at night with worship and preaching. And then I'm going to say a word that maybe some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Then after the service, you know, the canteen opened up. And so you went and got your pop, you went and got your candy, and I was in line for that. But every year, the counselors, the leaders of this camp, at the end of the week, they would pick a guy or a girl to be Mr. Camper or Miss Camper, and they would give you a small trophy. Now, I don't know exactly what the criteria was for that trophy to win that, but probably someone who was kind, someone who was helpful, someone who had a good attitude, someone, you know, who listened to the leaders and was just a positive person, basically Christ-like. They were just the most Christ-like. And I remember thinking, hearing that, I wanted to be Mr. Camper. I was going to be on my best control behavior and be really kind and helpful and especially spiritual. I mean, Christ-like. You see, I know this to be true. We all want to be loved. And we want to love. And the bottom line in all of our lives, more than security, more than money and pleasures and health and fame or anything else, we desperately need love. And as true as that is, there are times in our lives when we are the ones that are difficult to love. Right? Let's admit it this morning. Sometimes we're unlovable, right? Raise your hand if that's true for you. Come on. You're unlovable. Some of you are not raising your hand. Okay. Now, if you don't think it's you, and it's true of you, just ask your spouse. Just ask your kids or your grandkids, right? They'll tell you. They'll tell you. Don't talk to so-and-so in the morning. They're not a morning person. Whatever. But it seems being lovable, you know, that's actually easy pretty to do, to love the lovables, right? It's loving the unlovable that's difficult. So my question this morning to myself and to you is, do others think of us when they think of a loving person? Think of a person you know that is or was, maybe someone in your past, that is or was a loving person. Maybe it was a mom or dad, or it was a grandparent. It was an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader or a pastor or a pastor's wife. But someone that comes to mind when you think of a loving person. And when we think of love, we often think of certain people who are good. They're kind. They're wise. They're gentle. Take Mother Teresa, for example, right? She lived her whole life serving the poor in Calcutta, India, and she even won the Nobel Peace Prize, the highest prize in the world for loving people. And I've titled my message this morning in this series, God's Test, is the test of love. The test of love. Again, when God's tests come into our life, they can be difficult to pass. God is wanting His character, His nature to be reflected in me and you. And even as we get older and wiser, hopefully, right? Our hearts are getting softer and we're more loving. You see, while it's true that God loves, understand what the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 states definitively. God is love. God does love. God loves everyone. You can't change that. You can't. He doesn't love you more and some less. Or God is love. He's the very definition of love. And to those of us who've experienced this love of God Himself, His love should be a huge, huge theme in our everyday, ordinary lives. If you haven't experienced this life-changing love from God, I pray that you do very soon. Well, Jesus is coming to the end of His ministry here on earth, and He's demonstrating His own love for His disciples, that crew that He hung out with. So, in this particular context, He gets down on His hands and His knees, and He begins to wash the disciples' dirty, smelly feet. The Savior of the world humbled Himself and showed His love. Jesus, who was there at the beginning when God made the universe, when God made the galaxies, when God made this world, He got down on a dirty floor and washed some smelly, nasty feet of His disciples. And it's in this context that Jesus gives them a new command in John 13. Jesus says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other, period. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now, Jesus was talking to the disciples right there in that context, but He's speaking to us today. God's command, God commands our love both for Him and for one another. And that's when we are tested in loving one another. Those who follow Christ must have a special love for one another, right? A brotherly or sisterly love. And this love must be visible to others because it's this love that others will know who we follow. It's Jesus. This love that we have for one another that comes from God should be unworldly, it should be rare, it should be uncommon. And this love for one another is proof that we are His disciples. You see, others, they may not know that we're followers of Jesus by our good deeds. The people handing out water and groceries to those in need in the Carolinas or wherever you saw in the video, people driving up, they may not know that they're Christians and that they want to just serve and help in a time of need. And a lot of times, people that are actually serving are also in need. Their houses are also underwater, but yet they are serving others. And those are good things to do. But the Bible says they will know it only by our love for each other. Well, how did Jesus love? Well, you know the definition, right? He gave His life for us. You see, that's the extent of loving our brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is true fellowship. When others see our love for each other, they will want what we have. They will want to be a part of this unique and unselfish and godly love that we have for one another, to experience this love of Jesus like we do. This is why, as a church, as Peace Chapel, as followers of Christ, we must love each other. A couple of chapters later, Jesus tells us in John 15, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." The greatest love that we could ever show each other is to lay down our lives for each other. This is precisely how Jesus loved us. And He proved it by laying down His life on the cross for you and me. There's no greater love than this. I got to tell you this morning that God desires that you pass the test of love. Even when there are those who seemingly are hard to love, loving your neighbor across the street, loving your extended family, loving your boss and fellow employees or classmates, if you think about it, if you stop and think about it, it's really becoming a loving person no matter where or who you're with. It's you. It's not like you flip a switch and now you're loving as you walk into where you work. Or you flip a switch and you walk into your house and you become loving. But no matter where you are, who you're with, you're becoming more loving. It's also admitting to yourself that, God, I need to be a more loving. I can't do this on my own. Are you with me? I'm there. At times, I need your help, God. How do you pass the test of love? How do you pass the test of love? Well, the first thing I thought of was this. Make love the highest goal. Make love the highest goal. There are a lot of good goals to have in life, right? To lose weight and or stay fit, to get out of debt, to make the team, get your driver's license, to get good grades so you can get into a good school. Or maybe a goal is to travel more. Goals to save for retirement, to finish a project around the house, to add to your hobby or to add to your collection. It's a goal. Or maybe a goal is to stay connected with family and friends. Goals are super important to make, and they're super important to keep in life. But can I tell you this morning, nothing is more important in life than being a loving person. Nothing is more important in life than being a loving person. God in His Word says it simply in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let love be your highest goal. Your highest goal in life shouldn't be how much money you make or what career path you should follow. Your highest goal shouldn't be chasing comfort or the easy road. It shouldn't only be about your own needs. It shouldn't be about any one thing or possession. Time out. It's okay to make money. It's okay to have a career. It's okay to own stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But the highest goal above all is to love God and to love one another. In fact, that's how we love God, is by loving one another. A Pharisee asked Jesus a question, and Jesus quotes from two books of Moses, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, when he says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, he says this, one of them, as an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If there are two principles in life to live on, these are it. These are the two. Loving God with everything is the first, and as you heard Jesus say, it's the most important command. In fact, it's more important to love Him more than your spouse and your kids, putting Him first. Because when you do that, you're able to love your spouse and your kids. The second command is loving others as you love yourself. You see, loving God and loving others will make the greatest impact on your life and theirs. Again, I'll say it again. Loving God and loving others will make the greatest impact on your own life as you pursue God, but also it will impact those around you. There's a 10-year-old boy from Zimbabwe. He was in his grandmother's backyard when he found a landmine, and he put it in his mouth. And as you can imagine, it messed up his face, making him in that community an outcast, where he was made fun of. And you can imagine he spent most of his time in hiding in his house. Well, there was a lady from California who started Operation of Hope, providing life-changing surgery for children in desperate need. And since 1989, this charitable organization has performed 4,856 surgeries for needy kids. And this young boy, through probably family, can you fix my face? Well, they brought him to the U.S., and a doctor donated his time and performed reconstructive surgery. All because of one lady who decided to love another in need. You see, your act of love may not end in a story like this, but know this, it still matters. Making a difference starts with the little daily decisions where you have made love your highest goal. Not the highest goal. How else do you pass the test of love? Well, you show love through time. If you want to show real love that's sincere, that's authentic, do it by your actions, not just by your words. Words are important. Don't get me wrong, right? The old joke of a husband who says to his wife, you know, I told you I loved you on the day we married, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. But words are powerful. Again, that would be a different message, but words are powerful. We need to communicate those powerful, life-giving encouragements to others. We need to do that, but we also must show love. Love is an action. 1 John 3 says this, we must show love through actions that are sincere, not through empty words. You know when someone throws an empty compliment out, you know it. It has to be sincere. It must be backed up with actions. That's how you show love that's authentic. Not merely talking about loving others, but loving them with time. Time is the most valuable resource that you have. I know that personally I've been guilty of being too busy for my family, chasing and pursuing other things and squandering my time away. And I have a lot of regret about that. Time that I can never get back. And you can't get that time back either, but you and I can decide to show love with our time now. So when you spend time with someone, you are giving them the most valuable thing that you can give, you. You see, it's been said the future, your future, is an amplification of your present. In other words, who you are becoming is who you are now. Who you are becoming is who I am now. If you decide not to change anything about your life now, you will be the same person tomorrow that you are today, or the same person in a week or a month or a year that you are today. And I don't think that's what you want for your life, and that's what I don't want that for my life either. You show love by being present, undistracted, sincere, and real. Sometimes it's putting the phone away or putting it in another room and you're just dialed in, asking God to help become a loving person to others. What does that look like in your context where you live and where you work and who you interact with? Scripture reminds us in Ephesians 5, live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. Jesus sacrificed his life because he loves you. And the challenge here is to follow his example by living a life filled with love for others. Not being loving once in a while, but living a life that's filled, not halfway, not three quarters, not one quarter. It's all the way filled up with love for others, spending time with someone, as we know, can be a sacrifice. And let's be honest, there's always reasons and there's always excuses for not being loving. And some of them can just be ridiculous if we are honest with ourselves. I found a list of actual excuses that parents wrote for their kids who missed a day of school. Please excuse Freddie from being away yesterday. He had the fuel. I think she meant to spell flu, but she spelled fuel. Please excuse Lisa for being absent. She was sick and I had her shot. Please excuse Ronald from PE for a few days. Yesterday he fell out of a tree and misplaced his hip. Couldn't find it. Please excuse Joseph because he had two teeth taken off his face. Please excuse Jennifer for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch, and when we found it Monday, we thought it was Sunday. See, like these ridiculous excuses, right? The excuses out there as to why loving others is so difficult or that there's no time, it just falls flat, right? Show love with your time is an intentional choice. choose to make this a habit. Well, no one else is doing it. Well, then you start and you do it. How else do you pass the test of love? Well, you begin loving others today. Make love your highest goal. Show your love with time and then begin or continue loving others today. Don't wait until you feel like it, as Miss Elizabeth was talking about, or when all the planets align and now, okay, now I can love. It all comes back to how God lavishes His love on and for you and me. And because God's love is more than enough, we sang it earlier, you can share some of that love with others because it's overflowing in your life, your friends and your family and your church family. You know, it's going below the surface of how about them bears, right? Or how's the weather to how are you really doing? Looking for opportunities to go deep and be vulnerable with others. The Apostle Paul reminds us again in Ephesians chapter 5, make the most of every opportunity for doing good. The days are evil. Redeem the time. Make every minute count. Use your every opportunity. Make the most of your time. Put it on your radar. Begin or continue loving others even more. Keep at it. Don't quit. Don't let excuses define you as to why you're not a loving person. Let love define you. Let love define you, not somebody else's impression of you. You don't have to manufacture this love all on your own, right? It's not sincere. God's love in you and the Holy Spirit will help you love others. God, help me with this. And then you can say along with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, no matter what I say, what I believe, or what I do, I am bankrupt without love. What's the definition of bankruptcy? It's broke. It's nothing. It's zero, right? You can have it all. But if you don't have love, you don't have nothing. You are bankrupt without love. You're empty. You're poor. A fraud. You may have a trophy or an accomplishment or a degree or a certificate in a certain field or a collection with your hobby, but if you don't love others, it's all meaningless. I haven't met anybody, but nobody on their deathbed wants to gather all their trophies around them so that they can gaze on them right before they step into eternity. If they do want that in their life, then they've been misled on what's truly important in life. None of those trophies and certificates and degrees or hobbies really matter. Am I saying that we shouldn't pursue? No, I'm not saying that. But love is what matters most for my life and your life. If you don't have love, the scripture says you're empty. God's tests. The end of the week came at Camp Utaba as a teenager where they announced who was Mr. and Miss Camper for that year. And I was on my best behavior all week long. I swear to God I was. I know some of you know me and you think I'm a rascal. I am. I didn't want to show it, but I really wanted to win Mr. Camper. Well, they announced Miss Camper and clapping, and I don't remember her name, but then they called my name. I was Mr. Camper for that year. And after I won, right, I could let go of trying so hard to be good enough. You know? And as I'm older now, looking back at that moment, I put all this effort to win a trophy. I went looking for it in my house, couldn't find it. I don't even have this trophy. But yet it was important to me in the moment, right? Now the week of camp is over, I could go back to being a not-so-Christ-like or not-so-loving guy. Because I won. You see, the test of love is another one of those tests that can be difficult. Because we fail at loving others. We're reluctant to love because we've been hurt by others. So we close our hearts and we build these walls to keep them out, Or maybe we're just plain selfish and that pride keeps us from seeing or keeps us from loving others. Again, it's easy. It's easy to love the lovables. It really is. But God is asking us to follow Jesus' example, not mine, not the president, not somebody, famous athlete. God's saying, I want you to follow my son's example. Live a life of love. Wow, as I say those words, I've blown it. I've not lived that out. And I don't think I'm alone. What does it look like for you and me to live a life of love? They will know us by our love because love is what matters most. Make love our highest goal. Not just personally, but as a church. Let's show love through time and attention, not just with one another, but as a body of believers. And let's continue, or let's begin loving others today, not just in our circle of friends, but as people of Peace Chapel. Earlier, I quoted 1 John, God is love. Let me read the rest of it. 1 John chapter 4, my dear friends, we must love each other. Love comes from God, and when we love each other, it shows we have been given new life. We are now God's children, and we know Him. God is love. And anyone who doesn't love others has never known Him. God showed His love for us when He sent His only Son into the world to give us life. You see, we can't say we love God and not love others in our lives. We spend our lives as human beings looking and searching for love, and sometimes we are looking in the wrong places. Those things or those people will never satisfy us. Only God's love can fill you and me. I believe if Jesus was here right now in this moment, he would say to you, I love you. My love is enough. It's enough to fill you. It's enough to overflow your life. You can love because I am love and I love you. Hear me this morning. God's love is enough. Again, when you experience that, then you begin to see those around you in need of love, and you want to share that with them. We can pass the tests of love with the help of the Holy Spirit, His guidance. We can do this. Let's pray.